This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to another edition of the Spurs Chat podcast, where I'm joined by another very special guest. We've got Sammy Mockbell of the Daily Mail, chief football reporter of the Daily Mail. Sammy, thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
Very good. Pleasure, Chris. Happy to be on. Happy to have a chat.
Now, Sammy, what is it like during the transfer window for you? And more importantly, what's it like covering Tottenham? Because there never, ever seems to be a dull moment.
For sure. You know, it depends on how you look at it, really, as a journalist. You know, it's the transfer windows are always something that you kind of look forward to, because there's a lot, obviously, to get your teeth into. But given the nature of transfers, they're evolving every minute. You know, last minute's realities and sort of the next minute's reality, and things change so quickly. And that opens a lot of risks for journalists, because you're writing something one minute. You're posting it, you're sending it live, and then, you know, a day later the transfer's moved on and it may not happen, or someone else has come in, and then the story, you know, the story that is only 24 hours old is almost redundant, and particularly in days of social media, and we kind of all know about the pitfalls of that, and you know, the criticism and abuse that journalists get, that everyone gets, really, not just us. That can open up a can of worms, as it were. But you know, generally speaking, it's an exciting time. You always, you know, particularly the top six clubs, you're always looking out to see which players they're looking for, you know, what areas they're looking to strengthen. And it's always an interesting time. And I think, you know, for supporters, it's almost as exciting as the matches itself, right? Particularly nowadays, and again, you know, with Twitter, you know, so many rumours flying around, and fans get excited, and obviously it's part of my job to not necessarily fuel that excitement, but just try and do the best I can to give you guys and, you know, the supporters as accurate as information and up-to-date information as I can, you know, on that given day.
Sammy, what have you made of Tottenham's season so far? Because, of course, Spurs are sitting in fifth place in the Premier League, 3 points away from top four. We're in the Champions League last 16. We're still in the FA Cup. Some of the results have been up and down. The performances, you know, first-half performances haven't been that great. What have you made of Tottenham's season so far?
Listen, you know, I think you almost described it there with your summing up of the situation. I think it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I think that the win against Fulham was much needed. I think I felt there was starting to be a level of negativity around the team, potentially among the supporters, away from the team, you know, in terms of the club itself. I think there were certain concerns about the form of the team and the direction they were headed. But I think that win at Craven Cottage has kind of lifted spirits a little bit. And then obviously, it's one victory, and you know they're going to have to build on that. But I think that was a big win. The season generally, I think it's been okay. I think having ended last season on such a high, I think supporters were sort of well within their rights really to expect sort of maybe potentially bigger and better things from the team this season. But they are where they are really. And I think they've been good. You know, there's been good moments. They've had some good results. I thought the start, although it wasn't necessarily exciting, I remember the start to be pretty consistent, weren't losing matches. And then obviously the wheels came, not the, the wheels haven't come off. That's unfair to say, because as you say, you're only 3 points off third, is it, on third and fourth. So, you know, it's by no means a disaster, but I think the expectation levels perhaps is what and maybe caught up with Tottenham a little bit this year. After the end of last season, there was almost talk of Tottenham trying to rival, you know, Liverpool and Man City to the title, particularly after doing the sort of business that they did in the summer. Perhaps, you know, retrospection is 2020. We look back at the business now and thought, well, maybe they could have done better. But I think the narrative at the time was about, actually, they've had quite a good summer here. They've got the business done early.
Yeah.
Players like Bissouma and Perisic, who are, you know, proven, Bissouma's proven in the Premier League, and Perisic is, you know, has been a world-class footballer for years. So we looked at the business and thought, yeah, you know, they could challenge here. And obviously it hasn't turned out that way, but it's still a top four space to go for. You know, you're still in the Champions League. You say you're still in the FA Cup, Preston at the weekend. Things could be a whole lot worse, but equally they should probably be a little bit better than they are. But injuries haven't helped. Bentancur's been a massive, you know, losing him for a number of games has been a massive blow. Same as Kulusevski, Richarlison. You've had difficulties in attack, yet you're kind of there or thereabouts in terms of Champions League qualification. So I don't think it's all doom and gloom, though. You know, if I was a teacher, I'd probably grade B minus maybe.
Sammy, you mentioned the win at Fulham on Monday evening. That seemed to mean a lot to Antonio Conte after that game, going over to the crowd, fist pumping. And his contract ends on the 30th of June. What do you make of this situation? Do you think he's going to stay at Spurs beyond the summer? Because, you know, there's also lots of comments that he's made in press conferences, which, you know, if I was the board, I probably wouldn't be that happy that he's made a lot of these comments.
Sure. If I was a betting man, I would say I would put my money on him not being here at the start of next.
Hi, Sammy, you're back with us.
You're right. Sorry, don't know if that was you or me, or I don't know. It's probably me. My Wi-Fi is notoriously bad, mate. So it could well be me.
That's all right, no problem. Antonio Conte's situation, you personally don't see that he's going to be here next season?
Yeah, no, I'd be surprised. I'd be pleasantly surprised, and I want to be. But I think in terms of the job that I do, he's fantastic value for us. You know, I think so fans can see there's. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's honest. He tells the truth. You know, he isn't afraid to say what he feels, and that's all we want as journalists, for sure. Whether that's what Daniel Levy and the Tottenham board like is an altogether kind of different argument, right? But yeah, no. Personally, I think he's great for Tottenham, and I think, you know, they should move heaven and earth to try and convince him to stay. But I'm not sure they're doing that. And I'm not sure that Antonio Conte at the moment sees a long-term future at Tottenham. And I also think the last few and he's spoken about it, the personal battles that he's had with the with those close to him losing, you know, losing their lives, you know, former teammates, you know, the coach that he worked, you know, years with, that will hit home. And I totally understand from that point of view as well, if Antonio Conte, given that his family are still in Italy and haven't permanently moved over to London, I totally understand why he would be tempted, or why he would look at the situation and say, thanks, you know, we've had it's been a great ride, but I need to be closer to my family. I want to be closer to home. And I think we, you know, all of us as human beings would recognize that for sure.
Sammy, if that is the case, and he thinks that he will stay until the end of the season, then go, do you think he's going to put all of his eggs into the basket of, say, the FA Cup, which Spurs haven't won since 1991?
I think he will. He should definitely do that. He should place, you know, his strongest team, because I think that would identify, that would be his crowning glory, wouldn't it? Bringing it, you know, a trophy, you know, to the club that you've longed for so long. And, you know, that's almost his response to the Tottenham board for what he views as them not fully buying into his sort of recruitment strategy. That will be the perfect response to that. There's a lot of, obviously, water to go under the bridge for that to happen. A lot of games to be played. But yeah, I think it provides a great opportunity for Tottenham to win a trophy. And it's not just Tottenham, obviously, and I'm sure we may touch on it later, but it's the Harry Kane conundrum, isn't it? You know, how can this world-class footballer, who everyone recognises as the top three in his position, you know, a lot of you would regard him as the best, but, you know, without doubt, top three, top four in his position, how has a guy of that talent and of that kind of magnitude not won a trophy yet? And then, so for Harry Kane, I think the FA Cup this season provides, as it does every season, really provides an excellent opportunity to win a trophy, his first trophy. Because as we know, the Premier League is going to be out of reach. You know, I know it probably pains you guys to hear it, but Arsenal and, you know, obviously Man City are gonna go toe to toe for that. Yeah. Champions League's, we know, you know, not, you know, you got to the final, so you can never rule it out, but that's going to be difficult. And I think historically Antonio Conte's record in the Champions League, you know, could be better, but obviously the, you know, there's always time for that to change, but I think the FA Cup for sure is the competition that they should really, really try and focus on.
Sammy, it would probably go down as one of the best January transfer windows in recent times for Tottenham last year. Bentancur and Kulusevski coming in. Of course, we've got Champions League football for this season. They were a big part of that. Now, Arnold Danjuma has just signed for Spurs on loan from Villarreal, our first signing of this January transfer window. And hopefully there'll be a lot more for us Tottenham Hotspur fans to smile about. Do you think this is an Antonio Conte signing, or do you think this is a club signing? What do you make of this signing? Because it looked like he was going to Everton. And then, of course, Tottenham hijacked the deal.
Yeah, I think this is a club signing. Listen, Antonio Conte would have definitely have had an input, of course. But it wasn't like, as far as I'm aware, it wasn't a signing that they pursued strategically during the January window. It was a deal that was basically there for everyone to do. All the Premier League clubs knew Danjuma would be available, and he's effectively done a tour of Europe trying to find a club. Looked like he was going to Everton. He'd actually done completed his medical. He'd done all of his in-house media duties. I'm told he was there ready to train the days just fly by now. I think it was the Monday, but and then got the call. Frank Lampard obviously got sacked and left, and I think that was a big pull for Danjuma. I'm told was that he wanted to work with Frank, and under Frank, given his you know, his legendary status. But that all fell by the wayside, and Tottenham presented itself, and it was an opportunity taken rather than, in my opinion, rather than a deal that had any kind of strategy behind it.
I think a lot of us Spurs fans feel that this January window has to have players that walk into the starting 11 and improve the first team. Do you think Dan Juma does this?
No, I don't. If I'm being perfectly honest, I think you're well stocked in that area. You've got players who, you know, I know Richarlison's just coming back from an injury, but Richarlison was on the bench the other day. Now you've got another attacking forward to try and it's options for sure, but if it was your strongest starting 11, I don't expect him to Dan Juma to be in that team.
Sammy, would you expect Spurs to sign a creative midfielder in this window?
As in, like a number 10?
Yeah, or do you know of any players that we've been actively looking for
I think, you know, never say never with Tottenham, and you never say never with Daniel Levy in the closing sort of moments of the transfer window. Zaniolo has been a player that's constantly been linked with Tottenham over the past kind of 18 months, it sounds like. He was definitely one that they looked at. I think that the interest is still there. I do know for a fact that Bournemouth have kind of made their move for Zaniolo. They've had some issues with one of their signings, Nicholas Jackson. I understand that there's been a bit of a problem with his medical, and that deal might not happen now. So I think they've read the room and tried to get in there early for Zaniolo. But that decision will be completely down to the player. If Tottenham are serious about Zaniolo, and he's convinced that he will play enough football at Tottenham and then under Antonio Conte, logic suggests that he should probably choose Tottenham over Bournemouth, given the prestige of, you know, just the traditions and the prestige of the club. There's no disrespect to Bournemouth, obviously. That could be an option in terms of a number 10.
Sammy, Pedro Porro, this situation seems to be dragging on throughout this window. It seems to me that if Spurs paid the release clause at the start of the month, it would have been a nice simple deal and we'd have had the player. Now, of course, reports in the last, 24 hours, 3 to 4 installments, Spurs could get this deal done. They're willing to pay the release clause. Porro could be playing in a cup final on Saturday. There's interest from Chelsea. Of course, they're trying to sign a right back as well. Gusto, Leon have said that they want to keep the player. What is the situation? What's the latest on Pedro Porro? Are you confident the Spurs will get this deal done?
Yeah, I'm still pretty confident they'll get it done. It's dragging. And obviously always take information with a pinch of salt. But the sort of the information I was receiving this morning was Tottenham a full throttle wanting to get this deal done, but it's sporting that it being a little bit particular with how they want it structured, etc., etc. You know, Tottenham are willing to pay the valuation, the asking price, the release clause, so there should be no problem there. But I think the way the deal is structured is obviously one of the sticking points, and it doesn't seem like they've moved any closer today. You know, listen, that can all change. That can all change in a heartbeat. You know, that might have changed now, and we just haven't heard. But that deal is dragging its heels, and I absolutely get your point about getting it. Why haven't they done it? Why didn't they just do it earlier? But you know, this is Tottenham, and we kind of know how they operate. And I know, you know, there was a little bit of a changing of that strategy in the summer, getting the deals done early. But when it comes to January, the January window, I think Daniel Levy looks at that and thinks he can get better value for money and better sort of better deals done at the end of the window. And I think that's how this is playing out. Which so wouldn't benefit, which obviously is no benefit at all to, I just add to Antonio Conte, because he wants his players through the door ASAP because he's got matches to play and games to win. So it's a tough one.
Is there interest from Chelsea in Pedro Porro? And I've also seen lots of reports stating that Real Madrid would possibly sign him in the summer window if he didn't leave.
With the Chelsea thing, I think it's more of a they'll monitor that situation, and it's always the problem with Chelsea right now is they do the unexpected, and in the transfer market we saw with the Mikhailo Mudryk deal, we all knew they were kind of monitoring the situation, and Arsenal would look like they were going to get him. Hands down, and I thought that it looked like that deal was nearly done, but then on that, obviously that Saturday, things escalated with Chelsea, and then they wrapped that deal up in no time at all, and you know they'd sort of taken them from under Arsenal's noses. So Chelsea, Chelsea's interest is always a concern, should always be a concern, because they the way they operate at the moment is like, you know, we want the player, we will wait until someone else has got an agreement. We know then how much they need to pay. We know how the deal needs to be structured, and then they will just better the deal slightly and get the player. It's almost like they're letting their rival clubs do the negotiating for them, and then because they've got the money, they can just go and steal in and take over. They did it in the summer with Will. They obviously didn't sign Rafinha in the end, but they did that with the Rafinha deal. You know, Arsenal thought they had him. Chelsea matched all the offers and bettered the offer, really. And then, Arsenal were blown out the window. He ended up going to Barcelona in the end. But Chelsea, because of the financial power that they've got, are able to do that. So it must be a worry for sure for Tottenham.
Sammy, what do you make of the Jed Spence situation? Because he's played only 5 minutes of Premier League football under Antonio Conte. Various clubs are interested in taking him on loan. Do you see that if Porro does come into Spurs, that he will end up going out on loan this month?
Yeah, surely. And I think that the club almost owe it to Jed Spence. You know, this was a footballer who was. You know, fantastic in the Championship last season, playing such a key role for Nottingham Forest in that, in their promotion tilt. And he arrived.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Antonio Conte made no bones about it, didn't he? He didn't camouflage it. He wasn't his signing. And we've seen, there's evidence to prove that he's hardly played, as you say, played 5 minutes. But there's talent there for sure. He's a talented player, and he should be playing at this age, and he needs to be developing. So for the sake of the player, you'd hope that Tottenham will let him go potentially on a loan, and then he may return in the summer when there may be a change of manager, and a manager may look at him and think he's worthy of a place in his plans. But at the moment, he's not going to have much chance of playing, so I think the right thing to do by the player is to let him go.
Sammy, are you hearing that Spurs are looking at any centre-backs at the moment? Because that is an area a lot of the fans feel that we need to improve.
No, you know, in terms of the one that you keep hearing is Bastoni. And I think he is the one player that Antonio Conte would potentially love the most to bring into his team. But I think they have bigger fish to fry. You know, never say never in the January window, but I a centre half hasn't really come across my radar.
What do you make of the Harry Kane contract situation? Of course, he's out of contract with Spurs in 2024, just equal Jimmy Greaves' record. Do you see him leaving in the summer for another Premier League club? Because we keep seeing and hearing reports day after day.
I think it's the billion-dollar question, really. I can see it for sure because he's got a lot of... If he wants to go, he will have a lot of leverage this summer. Obviously, because we know with his contractual situation, he'll have 1 year left, which means that if he doesn't go this summer or in the next January window, Tottenham will lose him or face a prospect of losing him for absolutely nothing, which is incredible. Considering his value, his true market value, you know, in excess, it should be in excess, touching 150 million quid. Even if he is going to be turning 30 in the summer, he's guaranteed goals, particularly in the Premier League. You know, he's going to score goals, so it's hard to put a price on that, really. And the prospect of him losing for Tottenham losing him for nothing, especially when we know. How savvy and how financially savvy someone like a Daniel Levy is would be incredible to think. So I think this is the summer where Kane, if he wants to go, if he truly wants to go, has got a lot of leverage to do so. And there will be takers. You know, we know the backstory to Harry Kane and his commitment to Tottenham. You can't question it. You cannot question it. You know, he's been here. He's one of your own, as you guys sing every week.
Yeah.
But he wants to win trophies. That is completely undeniable. And so he should want to win. You know, you can't begrudge the guy wanting to at least challenge for major silverware. And I think the key question is whether he sees a future at Tottenham doing that, winning those trophies. If he doesn't see a future, I think that definitely spells bad news.
Sammy, what I want to ask you is possible outgoings, possible loan deals. Brian Hill, Pape Matar-Sarr, Tanganga, Lucas Moura, and if Pedro Porro does sign, Emerson Royale or Matt Doherty, do you think any of those names that I've just read out, do you think any of them will possibly go out the door this window?
Brian Gill potentially. I'm a little bit conflicted with Brian Gill because I look at Brian Gill and he's a slight lad and he may not have the kind of upper body strength that you may require to be a success in the Premier League. But neither, and listen, I'm not comparing the two because they're kind of like chalk and cheese. But neither did someone like David Silva. Right. And there are, you know, people have compared him to David Silva. He's not anywhere near on that level yet, but he does give me David Silva vibes. He's got that technical ability. You know, he looks like he can unlock a defence. But for whatever reason, he hasn't been given the opportunity. We know the way that Antonio Conte likes to play. It's a very robust system to kind of, you know, get the defence right first and then build on from there. Perhaps it's not entirely conducive to the Brian Gill's strength. So I can certainly see that he would benefit from maybe a return to Spain. I know he spent some time at Valencia. Would Valencia look to take him back again, maybe potentially? But he's one that I can see going at right wing back. If Porro does come in, of course, you know, you look at it and you'd think certainly Jed Spencer, as we've already mentioned, he can surely go out on loan. And then if, you know, Emerson Royale or Matt Doherty, I think I seem to remember vibes at the start of the season where I thought Tottenham would look to sell either or really of Matt Doherty or Emerson Royale. So I wouldn't at all be surprised if one of those ended up leaving on a permanent or a loan for sure.
We've got five players out on loan at the moment, four of which didn't get on the plane. Ndombele, Winks, Lo Celso, Reguilon, and of course Joe Roden is out on loan also. Any news on these five players, Sammy? Is there any chance that Spurs could possibly offload these players in this window, or is there a chance that all of them will return in the summer?
I think it will all depend on management and who's in charge. In the summer, I think if Antonio Conte extends his contract and he's here for the long term, then I think there is precedent there to suggest that maybe those guys will be put up for sale. If there's a new manager comes in, whoever that may be, I'm sure that he will want to evaluate and analyse players first before making final decisions on them. So I think all that kind of that situation is for the future. And there is obviously the dynamics of the summer window is that it's much longer, and you've got more time to do your business in terms of recruitment, the ins and outs, a bit more diligently, really. Whereas at the moment, I think Tottenham are well focused on, as we know, getting players in through the door. They've done one with Dan Juma. We think Porro's going to get in. There may be one other that I don't think they're done. So I think the outs are potentially one that will become a priority in the summer.
That was going to be my next question, actually. You mentioned Dan Juma and Porro. If the Porro one does get done, you said there may be one other. What position?
Very good question. And I think you meant they creativity. They just need some creativity, and maybe a number 10 in of that ilk. I know you don't play with a number 10, but someone who can maybe fit into centre midfield maybe and add a bit more know-how and creativity in there. We've mentioned Zaniolo. Whether Zaniolo's the guy remains to be seen. There is certainly sort of been a long-term interest in him, but there is now growing interest in Zaniolo, and that could well be a difficult one to do when there are a lot of sort of teams in the market for him.
Sammy, do you have any information on the Fabio Paratici situation? Because, of course, he's been banned for 30 months in Italy. Do you think that this ban will come to Tottenham, and then, of course, he won't work at Spurs anymore?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and it's one that the club are waiting sort of urgently or asking urgently for answers for. They need to know. Because he's a key member of staff. He is, as probably the closest person to the manager that there is on the hierarchy, really, so to lose him would be a massive blow. And, listen, his contacts book is second to none. A lot of fans may doubt this claim, but I think he's done some fantastic business during his time here, particularly in the last January window with those two signings. I thought they've almost sort of revolutionised that team. Well, they certainly did last season. But in saying that, if the ban is extended to England, and that sort of their hands are tied. But I think if the ban is extended to England, then I think there's far bigger questions. Then I don't think it's a case of, is he just banned and he can't work? I think that may, his position at the club may come into question. I'm sure it probably already has, given the severity of the charges and the accusations.
Sammy, a couple of weeks ago, various reports were published stating that Spurs were in contact or in talks with Qatar Sports Investments. Any more news on this? And do you see that Spurs would possibly sell the club in the near future?
Not in the near future. I do believe there was, as much as the club were kind of distanced themselves officially from those reports. My understanding was that at the time was those meetings between Daniel Levy and QSI did take place. I think it was more than one meeting, I was told. I think the official line was that Daniel Levy is and Khalifa Al Khalifa are friends, and they met whenever they're in the same city, for example, they would meet for dinner or lunch or a coffee or whatever. My understanding is that the meetings were much more than that. But in saying that, I'm not sure that anything is close with them, and I think QSI may be looking now elsewhere as they look to invest in an English club. I think there's a number that they've looked at, and I'm not sure Tottenham are now at the top of the very top of their list or on their radar at the minute.
What do you think Spurs is worth?
Cool. So, listen, Chelsea went for $3.5 billion. I remember. You've got a wonderful stadium, one arguably the best in Europe. Knowing Daniel Levy, he would want the same as Chelsea, if not maybe a little bit more, given the stadium. But you're looking at, I'm not a businessman, but on the face of it, $2.5 billion, maybe $3 billion, which is still, it's still a massive investment for anyone. But I think we are quite away from that happening at the moment, from what I understand.
Sammy, you mentioned earlier that you don't feel that Conte will be here next season. There's been lots of rumours and reports published by all sorts of media outlets stating that, Pochettino is being lined up to be the next Spurs manager. Do you think that's true?
I think there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes with that. I can see Pochettino being interested. I can see Mauricio Pochettino being attracted to coming back here, but coming back to England, working back in England. He loved the Premier League. I know they may have left on bad terms, but my understanding is that Daniel Levy and Pochettino are still very close. So I think no bridges would need to be to be built there. I think that relationship is still relatively strong. So I think there is every chance that could happen if Antonio Conte goes. I also think maybe whether Fabio Paratici is still at the club at that time would be a factor, because he will obviously want to have his own stamp on who the new manager would be. So that would be a factor. But if he's not there, I think that would certainly be able to pave the way for a return for Pochettino to the club for sure.
Sammy, lots of reports out stating that Spurs are looking at goalkeepers possibly for the summer to replace Hugo Lloris. Names that I keep seeing is David Raya and Jordan Pickford. Any truth in this, or are Spurs targeting any other goalkeepers?
Yeah, definitely goalkeepers. I think after this one, Hugo Lloris will have 1 year left. And look, I think we've seen... And this is no disrespect to a goalkeeper who's been fantastic for Tottenham, and is a World Cup winner, etc. But his form obviously lately has been worrying. Whether that decline kind of continues will dictate how seriously they go for a goalkeeper in the summer. But it's certainly on their radar. David Raya, yeah, for sure. Great with his feet. They want a goalkeeper who is good in possession, but also makes quick decisions on the ball, which I think is something that a criticism of Hugo Lloris a little bit is that, yeah, he's not bad in possession, is Hugo, but he takes a little bit of time to decide which pass to make, which then ends up in Tottenham being put under a little bit of pressure. David Raya certainly fits the bill. Jordan Pickford would fit the bill. If Everton were to go down, that deal would surely be one that would be easy to do, or easier to do. Yeah. And then the other one who I know they're looking at is Robert Sanchez at Brighton, who again is very good with his feet, great in possession, can pick a pass. That's all part of the dynamics, obviously, of being a modern day footballer, which is something that Tottenham are looking at. And as I say, you know, Hugo still has a year left, and they will want to be respectful to Hugo Lloris for sure. And I don't think they would necessarily want him playing second fiddle to someone when he's club captain. They would want him to go out gracefully. So potentially, whether they can find a buyer or find a taker for Hugo Lloris may also be a factor in whether they go and buy a new goalkeeper. But for sure, as it stands, that is an area that they're definitely looking at and identifying as one that they will probably need to strengthen in the summer.
Sammy, last question for you. What are Spurs planning to do in the summer, signing-wise? And going back to our points that we spoke about earlier, do you think it's right that clubs now have club signings, or should it always be manager signings, their choice?
Very good question. I think there's got to be a way where they can meet in the middle. The club are investing millions and millions of pounds, and in many cases that they're from investors all over the world. It isn't just one person who is funding the transfer. So with that in mind, I think it's difficult to just have one person in charge of signing the players. There's got to be a committee in many ways when there is that level of investment. And that is a bone of frustration, a contention for managers all across the world, because they pick the team and they invariably live and die by the results of the team. And when the players aren't theirs, obviously that they have reason to moan. But I think modern day football has moved on from that. So I think there's got to be a way where they can combine and make those decisions as mutual as possible. And that's how the best kind of clubs are almost run, aren't they? Where the head coach, now that they're called nowadays, the head coach and the recruitment committee, you know, the recruitment committee and the chief executive are all working. They're all close. They're all working together. They're all in constant contact. Where there is a problem is where those lines of communication break down. That's where, you know, fractures within clubs can open up, and that can translate onto the pitch. In terms of Tottenham summer, a lot of that will depend on Harry Kane. I think if Harry Kane is to go, then they need to replace the goals from somewhere, somehow. He's irreplaceable. That's put it bluntly. But
what's your hunch on Harry Kane? Do you think he will leave in the summer? Because of course he's very loyal to Spurs. He loves the football club, but as you said earlier, he wants trophies.
Yeah, I personally think it's time for him to go, because I don't see him challenging for the level of the trophies that he wants to. I think there is a very good chance that he does go. Unless Tottenham can do something to completely convince him that there is major silverware to be won here over the next sort of 2 to 3 years. If he does go, the goals are irreplaceable. It depends on how they go about doing that, whether they just go and spend all of the money on one striker, or if they look to strengthen in several different areas. Creativity for sure is one that they lack in there. A creative midfielder, I think that would be on the shopping list. Another centre back for sure, and then, as we've mentioned, a goalkeeper would be. So I think it will be a pretty busy summer again for Tottenham if things continue the way they're going.
Well, Sammy, thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And tell all the viewers and listeners where they can find you and what to expect in the next couple of weeks from you.
So obviously last few days of the transfer window, so I'll be on my Twitter, which I think is SammyMockbell81_DM, and then you can catch sort of my articles and all my colleagues' articles on the Mail Online website. I'm sure I wouldn't need anyone to. I don't need anyone to know where that is. I think people know how to find that. So yeah, please log on. Please check out my Twitter, and hopefully we can report on some positive news for Tottenham in the next few days.
I was just going to say exactly that. Sammy, thanks so much. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'll see you on the next one. Until then, come on, you Spurs.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.